Judgies to a special edition of Legally Judgy.
Dun dun.
I know, I was like, we need breaking news music.
I just thought of the SVU. No, I thought of the SVU sound.
Why with you is everything so dark?
Oh, it's not a light. It's not a light episode.
Some would argue that this is extremely dark. I'm Alexa.
And I am Nicole.
And this is not your usual Legally Judgy episode.
No.
But we have come back together unexpectedly.
Well,
we didn't know what was going to go down at the Oscars, because let's be real, neither you or myself were really into it beforehand.
I was at a wedding. I was living my best life on the dance floor.
Good for you. I was taking a nap.
Okay. That's a good Sunday evening
plan. Time I get to nap. Well, I went on a hike and then I had to nap after. I was very tired. So we obviously don't usually do this type of episode, but we think it could be interesting and we feel like we have to talk about it because it's the slap that heard around the world. I mean, this is all you are seeing in the media right now, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we're talking about Will Smith walking on stage at the Oscars and slapping Chris Rock after Chris made a joke about Jada, Will's wife.
Yep.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack
here. There's a lot happening. I don't even know where to start.
And we are not, there's nothing scripted about this episode. So we're just going to come on here and talk about our thoughts, because there's a legal aspect of it, right? Because if Chris wanted to, he could have pressed charges, but he declined to do so. And those charges would have been at least assault, perhaps battery, but probably assault.
I think both. I mean, because assault is, you know, the intent, the threat, and battery is carrying through with the actual thing. So I think it would be both. I know a lot of people have been throwing around assault as like the thing. I think for some reason there's this impression that assault is like the more serious of the charge. It sounds like a more serious word.
When you're like, I got assaulted.
It sounds like a more serious word, but battery is actually the more serious of the two crimes. I think, listen, to your point, obviously Chris is not looking to file charges. I think, realistically, the state probably won't file charges. It feels like it would be probably like a waste of resources and time. Now, they could change their mind, of course. A prosecutor can decide to pursue a criminal case without the victim, and or they could then obviously subpoena the victim and make them come in and testify, which would be Chris Rock. But I think that the likelihood of this turning into a legal matter is probably pretty minimal.
Very low.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like, and we don't know for sure, that Will and Chris have separately worked it out anyways. And you have to imagine they're in similar circles anyway. I mean, and by worked it out, I mean worked it out enough that they are not going to go through the legal proceedings and do anything there. But you're right. They could bring both charges, I'm sure. If I'm the prosecution, what I meant was, I think that a lot of times in these kinds of instances, it depends on the injuries that come from whatever assault and or battery happens. And to your point, right, I think that, let's say it was a punch and there was a broken jaw and then there were medical expenses, you have a stronger case for being successful on both assault and battery charges. I just feel like assault charges are brought a little bit more often because, like you said, it's the intent. And so that's just a shoo-in.
Yeah,
you know, it's easier to get to be successful on an assault claim because of that.
I mean, interestingly enough, I think to your point, you know, usually when we think about battery charges, we think about medical expenses and people being physically harmed. I mean, you know, one could argue that he was physically harmed. Who knows? Nobody's seen him since this happened, right? And I heard that I have read, and people speculate that he has not come out yet because he's waiting for the bruising, you know, to like go down in his face. Not like serious bruising, but, you know, of course, your things can look different after you get slapped, especially in that way.
Inflammation,
etc. But I was going to say, you know, there's, even if the medical physical harm is not, maybe super substantial here in comparison to like being punched, the emotional damages would be quite high in this instance, because the man was slapped on national television that has now literally gone all over the globe.
Yeah. I was going to say not national, right? Worldwide. Because I remember,
oh, do they stream it internationally too?
Well, somehow, because the clip that I saw on Sunday, so in the US, the censors cut the audio, right? So for people watching it live, there was no audio anymore. And you just see Will Smith mouthing something. And if you can read his lips, you know, he says,
keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I was sent a clip from my cousin. Shout out to you, cousin Lolo, who sent me a link to a Japanese format of it, and they did not cut the audio, and you can hear everything. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay, this makes it much easier for me to evaluate what is happening here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So anyways.
So the emotional damages were high. That's really what I was going to say. There's a lot of embarrassment there.
A lot. Yes.
And I think that's where things become a bit more gray and nuanced. Yes. I think we tried to give this a second to breathe because obviously things change so rapidly. Like this happened Sunday. And since then, we've now seen the Academy say something. We've seen Will say something. We've seen Jada say something. But I think at the end of the day, there's still this very gray area to what happened here beyond the legal. And I should start off by saying we obviously do not condone violence. So,
yeah,
you know, do not come on here talking about we were supporting Will slapping him. That's not the vibe. We don't condone violence in any regard.
But we are going to talk about the gray area. And one thing just to wrap up the legal part. Remember, everybody, in California where this occurred, you do not have to necessarily suffer physical harm to recover for emotional damage. It always helps. And you have to remember, too, because I think a lot of people forget that when you are suing, there is a practicality of it. Is what are you suing for? What were your damages? And that part is going to be evidence-based and would have to be presented to a court. So, like you said, unless there was substantial damage here, I think practically Chris, even if for some reason he wanted to bring charges, I'd be curious to know how much he could actually recover. But that's the legal side of it. And like you said, we want to also talk about, as we talk about on many episodes, the morality of things, mm-hmm. because the legality and the morality don't always align. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more nuance here just from a people perspective. I mean, like you said, there's so many different opinions flying around right now. Among celebrities, among regular folks who are not famous at all. I mean, this is dividing a lot of people.
It is quite divisive.
It is very interesting to watch from like a sociological perspective, I have to say. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That I know that I'm quick to go into the comments. I'm like one of those people who see a post and I'm straight into the comments to see what people are saying.
With something like this.
Yes. And I cannot help but notice that on what I will call predominantly people of color posts versus what I would say are more white Caucasian mm-hmm. posts. Mm-hmm. There is a majority of the folks in those comments are aligned in each part. So mm-hmm. I would say that on the POC posts, there's a lot more. I kind of this vibe of not necessarily condoning violence, but I kind of get it, Will. I'm understanding. We forgive you. Mm-hmm. More patience, I will say. Mm-hmm. More compassion. And then I have noticed on other ones, like I'll say it, E! News, people on Instagram, I'm seeing a lot more take his Oscar away, violence is never the answer, that was terrible, disgusting, right? Just very visceral reactions to what he did.
And listen, I get that. I completely understand that. It was very shocking. It was very shocking. I think you don't expect to see things like that just generally at like those kind of award shows. Not that they have not happened in the past, because Tommy Lee punched somebody at the VMAs quite a long time ago. So not the first time, but we don't expect it. I think we don't expect it as like consumers, viewers, etc. Especially from someone like Will Smith, who has been like, you know, the goofy, the loving, the dad, the like always plays like these right. very emotional characters. So I think like if it was Eminem who got up on stage and did that, probably people would be like, okay, that feels Kanye? Up his alley. Well, Kanye's not violent,
but
he's verbally a little abusive. But I'm saying abusive.
People would probably expect it though, because I think the way people want to think of Kanye, mm-hmm. even though he hasn't laid hands on anybody on a stage, mm-hmm. right? If Kanye were to do it, they'd be like, oh, well, see, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah, for sure. But I say that I think Will has always been in like this very particular category of like well-esteemed actors and black men in Hollywood. And so like, you know, he's got the family and the wife and the roles and like all of these things. So I think people weren't expecting it. But I think what a lot of people are missing, and I understand this to some regard, because if you're not maybe a person of color and or you haven't looked into these things and done the time to educate yourself, you're probably missing like the deeply historical roots in this. And I think a lot of that comes from being a black woman and conversation around black women's hair. And so as context, which I'm sure many people know, Jada, Will's wife, has alopecia. And so she recently basically decided to shave her head because she said very candidly that she was starting to lose her hair in like chunks. Mm-hmm. And she was like, just got to the point where like I had to decide that like it was enough. It was risky. Like it didn't seem like she was comfortable with it, but she made the choice to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, Chris Rock made this joke about him saying he can't wait to see her in G.I. Jane 2, because in G.I. Jane 1, I think Hilary Swank.
Demi Moore. Oh, my gosh.
Come on. You know I'm, like, not up on, like, the culture from around that time. You're welcome for inserting a little levity here.
Just so everybody knows, this truly isn't scripted, because apparently
you're welcome.
In the G.I. Jane remix, it's Hilary Swank and not Demi Moore.
Well, Hilary Swank was in a movie where she shaved her head, too, right?
Sure.
It was, yeah, doesn't matter. Different. It was like a war movie, right?
It was boxing?
Boxing, okay, you know, something.
Thanks,
violent.
Producer Mark. Uh-oh.
My point is that in the first one, there is a woman, Demi Moore, apparently, who had shaven her hair, or had, you know, a buzz cut. So Chris was basically making fun of Jada and saying, like, I'll see you in G.I. Jane 2, right, because she also had the buzz cut.
Right.
Now, again, circling back, she's got alopecia, so she decided to shave her head because of that, but also, there is just this long-standing history of people talking shit about black women and their hair. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, whether they don't understand the consistency and feel like it's okay to touch people's hair without their consent, mm-hmm, or whether they just feel like they've got this space to comment on black women's styles. And I, you know, you, as you know, somebody made a comment in the workplace, mm-hmm, a couple years ago and basically referred to another black woman's hair as kinky. And this was a white woman. And I was like, okay, this is not appropriate. And the whole room of people literally looked at me like, mm-hmm, I was going to chime in, which A, says y'all know this shit's wrong. Mm-hmm. But also B, like, if you know that it's wrong, you say something. Don't look at me as the only black woman in this room to say something. But I say a lot to say that, like, there's this deep seated issue in culture, frankly, American culture, where, like, black women are not treated the way that they should be when it comes to their expression and their hair types.
Anything, but yes, especially.
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically as hair is, yeah, what we're talking about right, yes, now, though, yeah, which is how, you know, we have these states passing the Crown Act, right, where it's like you can't discriminate, mm-hmm, against women based on, like, the texture, style, et cetera, of their hair.
Right.
So if there's legislation around black women and their hair, and frankly, black people generally, because there was that boy who was the little wrestler and who had to cut his dreads, mm-hmm, at a fucking, you know, what's it, match?
Yeah, sure. Wrestling match.
Let's call it wrestling match.
I think that's what they call them.
Clearly not in the circle.
I don't wrestle.
So. You don't wrestle. Long story short, if there's legislation around black people and their hair, I think it's safe to say that this thing is a very underestimated and serious thing that happens in culture.
There's a lot of discrimination. Okay, even black female hair aside, even around curly hair. I mean, mm-hmm, I'm saying it's even worse. I can't even imagine what it's like to be a black woman and have my hair be so politicized, because as a Latin woman who I chopped my hair off, but back in the day when I had more hair, longer hair or more, it's fallen out because of stress, but that's neither here nor there. Even my curly hair, I remember having some randomly and few far between, but still some people come up to me and say, you're gonna wear your curly hair to the law firm. Mm. And I remember thinking, like, what? Yeah. I'm like, it's my hair. What are you talking, mm-hmm, about? And they were like, oh, I straighten mine. Getting to know that person in particular, I understood that she has a lot of internal racism, mm-hmm, going, mm-hmm, on, and it was very sad. But so that being said, I am Latin. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine, mm-hmm, but there is so much criticism and things that you have to think about as a woman of color, and especially a black woman, mm-hmm, I'm sure that a lot of people are missing here, mm-hmm, who are not, mm-hmm, right? Unless you experience it, unless you're around other people who have experienced it and you're having these conversations, you're going to take a lot for granted, and you're not going to realize that there's this whole other huge dynamic going on when we're discussing what's going on. Because the other thing that we've been seeing too is that there's this huge crowd, or voice, rather, whatever you want to call it, saying it was just a joke. They're celebrities. She opened herself up to this, in fact, not only because she's a celebrity, but because she's so open and she talks about this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, hey, it's just a joke.
But I think it's twofold. Okay, so first of all, to go back to, like, the hair thing, very briefly, I think it's also an extension of, like, being told that your hair is not good enough the way it is your entire life. Mm-hmm. And it's this expectation that you said of, like, these European beauty standards, where, like, everybody's hair is straight and, like, smooth and silky and all of that. And so, you know, you grow up your entire life, she's, what, in her 50s, mm-hmm, thinking my hair is not good enough, in Hollywood at that, can't even imagine the additional pressure that adds, mm-hmm, especially since we're just getting to a point in entertainment where we've got black people who do hair and makeup even on the set, right? Because there were many years where it was like people who didn't really have experience with that trying to tell you how to do your fucking hair and you would go out looking crazy. So there's the whole hair half of it. But then the other half of it is that she has a fucking autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not just chosen. Even if it was just chosen, she has a right to be in the world and, like, not, you know, be made the butt of jokes over her hair because of the sensitivity around that. But she also doesn't really have the power to completely decide as she's losing her hair and decided that, like, that was the best thing that she could do to feel confident about who she was, given that, like, her body is changing. And so it's like you're poking fun of something that, like, is very deep-seated and sensitive, but also something that I'm sure she's just really sensitive about generally right now. Is she's, this just happened in the past month that she shaved her head. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think? They're, like, just staring at me. I'm like,
well, you... I don't know if you've noticed, but you are the black woman out of the two of us. So I don't want to speak to, I don't know what it's like to be a black woman. I don't know what it's like to feel this way. So mm-hmm. I am going to listen to you more on this topic and I'm going to relate in as much as I can. But I think it's important in times like this to listen.
I appreciate that.
And to go, okay, that makes sense. And I mean, for what it's worth, I do, it's hard because I guess the flip side is that, and this is where a lot of comedians, you run this risk, right? So there are going to be a group of people that feel like as comedians, they're charged with saying things that regular people might think or say or be too afraid to say, and they're going to push the boundaries. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of, especially stand-up comedians, so Chris Rock, right? And so maybe for somebody like Chris Rock and plenty of other comedians are going to go, well, your pain, let's just laugh together. Mm-hmm, and it doesn't mm-hmm, necessarily mm-hmm. mean that it was malicious. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if Chris Rock or any other stand-up comedian who goes, I'm going to make this joke so that I can hurt someone's feelings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or so I can, you know, it's risky.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the other side of it is either as a stand-up, you decide, I'm not going to touch any medical issues. You make rules for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Chris Rock is one of those stand-ups. I don't think he ever has been to draw lines necessarily in that way. I think that he does push the envelope here, especially because this is not the first time he's made fun of Jada in general, right? About her alopecia, I don't know if he's put that into anything before specifically.
I don't think so, no.
But I do know he's made shots about when she tried to protest the Oscars, or she did protest the Oscars a couple years back with Will. And so,
what did he not get nominated for?
I think it was for Concussion. So he made a joke. Right. He made a joke about
horrible
that.
Movie, by the way,
yeah, I mean that's why, right? But and the joke was
really bad movie.
Do you remember Chris Rock's joke? I had to remind myself. Yeah, it was basically like, it was something like Jada. Protesting the Oscars is like me protesting Rihanna getting into Rihanna's panties. Yep. Neither of us was invited.
Yep.
It was something like that.
Yep.
And so obviously the dig is no one cares. Like, you weren't supposed to be here anyway, which is not great. It's a big hit, right? But
it's fucked. It's a little shitty. It's a little petty.
It's fucked up.
But it's not up. Like it does. It's not offensive in the way that, like, you're joking about my disease.
Yeah.
And I think. And again, we do not condone violence. I'm not saying that Will should have gotten up there and bitch slapped him.
We're not even on the Will part yet.
No, yeah. We're still just at Jada. I think the odd part here is, right, that, like, Chris and Will and Jada are supposed to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're supposed to have been friends for a very long time now. So it's not just, like, a random comedian's getting on stage and talking shit who, like, maybe doesn't know that she has alopecia,
mm-hmm.
first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, the irony is not lost on me that Chris Rock made a documentary called Good Hair. Back when, I mean, I think I was in college at that point in time. I was living in New York, so it was definitely a while ago. But, like, he made this whole documentary, basically, that was supposed to be
mm-hmm.
for his daughters to basically see that, like, you don't have to go through these crazy processes to make yourself look like certain people. And there was actually a woman with alopecia who was in that documentary who talked about having to shave her head and not having eyebrows. But it was supposed to be, like, this tribute to black women and their hair and the struggles they go through.
Right.
So, like, my guy, you financed the whole documentary about hair and you're taking shots at a black woman for her hair years later. Like, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work. That says you didn't actually learn anything. You got all the clout for the movie, but you didn't, like, actually take in what you were purporting to, like, share with the world about black women's experiences around their hair.
I was looking it up because I wanted to see what year it came out, 2009. And I guess apparently
college.
He did feature a woman who had alopecia.
I know. I literally saw it. I saw it.
So, I mean, okay, so let's say you're Chris, and this is going to be so nuanced, but I wonder if for him, too, he's like, yeah, we are friends, and so I thought maybe we could make light of it, right? We can joke about these things. Mm-hmm. We can joke about our vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is most of the time you can joke about your own, right? Mm-hmm. If I have alopecia or hair loss and I want to go up on stage and make jokes about myself, so be it.
Yeah.
The problem is you run the risk of hurting other people when you start making jokes about them and perhaps their vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, we don't know. We're never going to know. Chris isn't going to call us up and tell us what he was thinking, but maybe he thought, you know what? We've talked about this before. She seems like a good sport. Here she is rocking, you know, her shaved head. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this is a joke I can make. And we can all just laugh about it and then put it behind us. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to show that she's so cool about it. Look, she could take a joke. Look, they're going to laugh it off. Or he didn't think about it. Or I guess the alternative too is he did it maliciously. He said, yeah, I know she's really sensitive about it, but this is what I do. And I think it's going to get laughs. And so I'm just going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
And I don't think he did it maliciously. Like, that's not my take on Chris Rock. I actually really like him as a comedian. I've been to like a number of his shows, and I think he's actually generally quite funny. I think he makes light of a lot of things that, like, you know, just real life, day-to-day shit, being married, having kids, can't relate, but it, like, funny shit. I just think it was like, it was just tasteless. It was tasteless. I just don't think there was an excuse for what he said. And I think there's been this conversation around, you know, he didn't write the joke. Somebody else wrote them. They were a writer's room. But like, Chris, you're fucking AA++ level. Mm-hmm. You've got approval over the things that are coming over your mouth.
Yes.
Coming
yes.
out of your mouth. I think I said that right.
He has approval over things coming out of his mouth. I mean, he says it. So presumably he's approved it before they enter.
Like, I'm sure he got the script before he went on stage, right? Like, he didn't just read it on the teleprompter for the first time.
I mean, if it was on the teleprompter, he could go, I don't want to say that.
And people skip over shit on the teleprompter all the time. Say that. George Bush does. Couldn't read for
George
shit.
George Bush can't read. Let's be more considerate.
He was skipping over lines in the teleprompter is all I'm saying.
You can't make illiteracy jokes about the illiterate, Nicole. That's not very nice.
Sorry.
No, but he chose to say it. There's just no... So saying he didn't write it, who cares? Then he is now, I don't know, he's relying on ghost write, like, joke makers. Mm-hmm. Then I don't know what to tell you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he said it. So now what, right? And that brings us to what ultimately happened. Mm-hmm. Because he makes the joke... there's this pan to Will and Jada, and Will, you see laughing. You see Jada clearly not liking the joke.
Not into it.
She does not
smile. There was not even a half a smile.
She doesn't pretend to. She's not amused at all whatsoever. She starts, I don't even know, frowning, shaking her head. And then it cuts back to Chris, and he's going on. I think he goes, what?
It's a good joke. Yeah. It was a good one.
Something like that. Like, sorry, I'm adorable. And then... all of a sudden, you see Will going up on stage, and I remember thinking, what is going to happen? And then Will does this, it was a weird form, to be honest. I didn't know what he was doing before he even did it. And then he open hand slaps Chris Rock. And in that moment, I thought, this has to be staged. This is so...
1,000%.
This is so crazy. There's no way this truly actually happened.
Remember when we were kids and people used to, like, fake slap each other and you would, like, slap the other hand as the one hand was coming down? When I tell you I slow-mo'd that bitch, like, there's a second hand in there. He definitely put his hand up. It was a fake slap.
You hear that thud.
And then, like, by the 10th slow-mo, I was like, no, that shit, that was an open-handed slap.
That connected. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so, too, because Chris was really fast with it. And if you look at Chris's face the entire time, now I'm like, okay, this guy was probably thinking, what is happening? It's Will Smith. Like, what's going to go on? And then he's like, oh, shit, right? And he looks so surprised after it happens. But he also moved with it, so it looked really kind of choreographed.
Gravity.
You're not going to just stand there and get hit, right? Yeah. But some people do. I don't know. He was quick reflexes. That's what I'm saying. Because he reacted so quickly to the slap too, it almost looked choreographed. And so I thought, it has to be fake. There's no way this is real. Obviously, we know now it's not, although some people still think it's staged and this is a whole conspiracy, but whatever. We're going to put that aside for a second. And so, and he makes a comment. He goes, oh my God, like something like Will Smith just slapped me, right? And then he continues on, right? And he starts to say something. Will sits down, and that's when Will shouts out, basically, keep
my wife's name out of your fucking
mouth. Yeah, why do I keep saying your? Wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
I think, okay, this is where it gets very difficult for me. First of all, props to Chris Rock. I think he kept it very classy and composed because you could tell their moment where he was like, I'm about to flame your ass. He was like, okay, I could. And he was like, no. But I think in his mind, he was like, I have 500 jokes that I'm about to get out right now, but I'm not going to. And I was like, okay, well done. And he also didn't hit him back. So I have to, you know, take my hat off to like him keeping composed because I would not have been able to do the same. You know, I'm a feisty bitch. So like...
You reflexively probably would have just tackled the person. Yeah. You wouldn't even have had a chance to think about it. I mean,
at that point, it's self-defense.
It's fight or flight. And I mean, self-defense for a little slap. I mean, doesn't mean you should tackle them, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. But
you don't know what's going to happen next, right? Like, I think that's like a thing that would have to play out in a jury. Courtroom.
Yes,
it's a very fact-specific. So if somebody comes up and slaps you.
And if he immediately walks away and you attack him while he's walking away.
Well, if he's walking away, different not situation. Not self-defense. Right.
Just for the record, for everybody listening who's like, how do I get away?
Yeah, fair.
That wouldn't count. Maybe in some states. Who knows? Florida is the Wild West. So there, I'm sure they'd be like, that's definitely self-defense.
Stand your ground.
Stand your ground. Okay. So I agree. I don't know what I would have done, but I think I would be thinking the cameras are on. I probably shouldn't fight back at this moment, even if I wanted to.
That takes a lot of like composure and just rationality. I don't know what it takes for one person to like that quickly be like, I'm on camera, don't do anything.
Yeah,
but he did it.
He did it. An improviser. Maybe being so quick-witted allows him to also be so quick to action.
And here's the thing, I think it's lost on a lot of people that he is absolutely like a victim in this situation. He like we talked about, has been embarrassed on global platforms. And when anything happens, it's the slap being replayed over and over, right? So, like, imagine if you're somebody who's actually had a very traumatic situation happen to you, and it just continues to go on loop on Twitter, on TikTok, on Facebook, on everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can't imagine what he's feeling as a person who, like, didn't have the ability to defend themselves and really just had to, like, take the high road.
I wonder if that is what he's feeling or a part of it. Because the other part I could see, too, him being the stand-up that he is, thinking, oh, wow, this is going to be great material for my next special. And I can't wait to talk about this, too. Assuming he's obviously gotten past the, like, I'm going to work it out with Will. But I'm saying the fact that he's a stand-up comic and he's going to pull material from his everyday life. I mean, this already has caused his ticket sales to like 10 times.
He also kind of grew up in the hood. So I would imagine it took a couple hours for him to get to the point where he was like, I'm making the bag off of this. I'm sure the first couple hours were like, I'm about to beat his ass. I'm going to go beat his ass. Like, somebody hold me back.
And I think the tough part too, and we didn't see what I haven't seen anyway. I don't know if you've seen it, but like I've seen a lot of like backstage videos and images of people consoling Will. Mm-hmm. I saw Denzel consoling Jada.
That was not backstage. That was full frontal on the stage.
Yeah, sorry.
In front of the whole crowd.
Just behind the scenes. I mean, behind the scenes, mm-hmm. right? In quotes, just when the cameras aren't rolling to air the Oscars, I mean, is just footage that wasn't on the Oscars but is coming out because other people are recording what's happening. And there's a video of Denzel going up to Jada, speaking with her for a good while until they announce, okay, mm-hmm, commercial's mm-hmm. coming off, you're right, we're going to go back to recording. And you see Bradley Cooper, Denzel, all comforting Will.
Samuel L. Jackson,
Tyler Perry. There's Chris Rock is nowhere to be seen. And I think that maybe a lot of people, too, are like, hey, where's Chris Rock? What's mm-hmm. going on with Chris Rock? Mm-hmm. Who is anybody talking to Chris Rock? Mm-hmm. Because now it seems like everybody is consoling Will Smith. And that feels unfair because he's the one that essentially lost his temper, lost his patience, lost his cool, whatever you want to say. But he's the one that chose to go up on stage in front of everybody, the whole world, and slap Chris Rock.
And we don't know if it was consoling, right? Like, what we do know is that Denzel basically said that in moments of success, the devil will find a way in, which is, like, very old school people advice. And I was like, that sounds right for Denzel Washington K, and I can, like, hear it in his voice. But, like, we don't know if they were like, you're fucking tripping. Like, get yourself together. Pull the shit. Like, come back down to planet fucking Earth. Or if they were consoling him. Like, we literally have no idea what the conversation was. And it could have been, like, black elders stepping in. Well, minus Bradley Cooper. Black.
especially Bradley Cooper.
In my mind, I'm thinking, like, the black elders come in to be like, you need to pipe down, my guy. Like, this is not the space. It's not the time. Let's work this shit out backstage, in the back alley, something. But, like, don't show your ass here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I should say, by consoling, I just mean they're talking to him.
They definitely rushed to his side. But we also don't know where Chris Walker was, right?
That's what I'm curious.
He was gone.
And I feel like
that. With the wind.
I wonder what was going on, because I think for some people, they're looking at that imagery and they're going, this isn't fair. Will is the one that's getting comforted. Even if it is, hey, you better get your shit together. That's still somebody coming in and being like, hey, dude, this isn't right.
Yeah.
That's still somebody kind of maybe watching over him. And it doesn't mean that Chris wasn't getting whatever he needed mm-hmm. wherever, or maybe he wasn't. We just mm-hmm. don't know. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. I'm just saying that I think that this is contributing to why some folks are getting so upset about everything.
For sure.
And then obviously, just to tie in the rest of what happens is, Of course, what, about 20 minutes later, Will is back on stage because he ends up winning Best Actor for King Richard. Mm-hmm. And he gives a very tearful speech that long was speech. Like...
Very long.
Very, yeah. And a lot of people were upset about it for multiple reasons. One, okay, it overshadowed... What happened earlier not only overshadowed him winning an Oscar, which a lot of folks felt like was long deserved based on his acting career, but two, overshadowed... The film Venus and Serena.
I mean, Richard, before Quest that, Questlove yes. won for a fucking documentary, and yes. that was like
everything else, like
award, you know, history yes. breaking.
Yes,
but I think okay. So let me just take a step back. I think what I would have, I'm not going to say what he should have done, because I think that I don't live his life. I'm not living in his shoes. I'm not at home, so I don't know what Jada's crying about and talking to him about on a day-to-day basis as her husband. What I would have done and what I would have liked to have seen would either have been A, that if he felt like he needed to address it in that moment, he could have gone up to the stage and taken the microphone, which obviously would have been unprompted, right? And I don't think the Academy would have been fans of that necessarily, but been like, let me tell you why what you just said was fucked up. Like, let me use this as an education moment and say, like, don't joke about my wife. Here's why we're not going to joke about her, etc. I would leave the verbiage to him. Or B... It would have been enough if he would have waited until the speech when he won, because I think everybody knew he was going to win. He was basically a shoo-in. He could have also used that moment to make it an educational opportunity. What he instead did, I feel, was embarrass Jada even more. He kind of smeared Richard Williams's name, because at one point he was like, you know, I've basically gotten up here and acted like the crazy guy, which is like, you know, what people used to say about Richard. And I'm like, okay, you're literally winning an award for playing him right now. Like, do you need to smear his name along the way? Because I don't think that that's what he did. He didn't slap anybody in the Oscar stage. So like, really not living an apples to apples scenario. But he could have said, like, you know what? As Richard Williams did so many years, raising two black daughters who played tennis in this space, sometimes you have to rise above the bullshit that happens in Hollywood. And I'm rising above what Chris Rock just said. It's wrong. I'm not here for it. Let me tell you why this is off. But also, like, this is a moment in history for black families and a black man and all that thing and all that. And then, like, gone on gracefully from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. That's my stance.
No, and that's why I wanted to bring up the speech, because there's so much to unpack still, but I feel like the speech, to your point, would have been a good opportunity, even post-slap, or if it was instead of the slap. If it was instead of the slap, fantastic, even better. We wouldn't be here right now having this impromptu episode. We probably would have chatted about it, but we wouldn't need a whole episode about it. But post-slap, he could have also used that opportunity to further clarify anything that he was feeling. Maybe it was probably too emotional, though. It wasn't too quick. He clearly was on edge. His emotions got the best of him, mm-hmm. because he's now apologized. Mm-hmm. And instead, his speech basically, to me, felt like more toxic masculinity in talking about the words like, I need to protect. I kept hearing protect. Mm-hmm. I need to protect my family. Protect, protect, protect. And a lot of comments I've been seeing, too, refer to the ones that are very pro Will Smith, I'll say, they tend to say that's what a man needs to do to protect his family. And it's just this, it reminds me of just like the only way that a man might feel he can properly protect the family is to get physical. And I'm not saying that that may not be the case ever. I'm just saying in this situation, there were a lot better ways to handle it. So it almost feels like for some people, it's like this was the only way to get across that what Chris Rock said was not okay. Mm-hmm. And that is not true. Mm-hmm. Because not only does Will slapping Chris take away from Jada, mm-hmm. because what was going through my mind too was, okay, now does Jada have to go and talk to Will and manage his emotions and his feelings, mm-hmm. around what happened ultimately to her? Mm-hmm. Because now that's going to be another layer that's added to this, mm-hmm. Because now she is not the center, mm-hmm. of what happened. Now it's Will and what he did, and Chris too. But I'm saying originally, if it went down the way that you proposed, if he just, Will got up and used the speech as an opportunity to point out how Chris Rock's tasteless joke, mm-hmm. was so very tasteless, it was inappropriate, mm-hmm. things would have been a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I think two kind of responses to that. One, I think that I've definitely seen this toxic masculinity conversation, and I do think that there's a lot to unpack there. My thought just continues to be like, we don't know the dynamic of their relationship. What if that is the expectation that she has? Not that he's violent, right? Like, I don't think she's out here like, please go slap everybody who talks shit about me. Mm-hmm. But what if for her, she does have a like a heteronormative relationship in some ways where she expects him to be like the protector of the family. Again, there's right and wrong ways to do that. But I think like a lot of people are placing judgment on him saying protect. And we don't know like what their vibe is. We don't know what their dynamic and their marital agreement is. Mm-hmm. But then the second point that I wanted to make would just be, I forgot.
Do you want to take a second?
Yep, sure.
It was a good first point, though.
Thanks, solid, right? Real solid, real solid. It's a
really solid first point.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, let's talk about the first point, because I think that it's an important one. And it's good that you're pointing out nuances here, because I just think that this is where I feel like a lot of the divisiveness was happening. Do you want to go?
No, nope, it's fine. You go. Right. I'm gonna hold on to it. I got this.
Between POC communities and non-POC, aka white communities, lies. Because it feels like for a lot of white folks, violence is never condoned. Never, never, never. Mm-hmm. And you forget that perhaps it's because
slavery.
I mean,
no, sorry. I mean, inappropriate.
No. But there's violence for so many POC all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just kind of funny that the way that some people are reacting, and they tend to be white folks. I'm not saying that it's all white folks. I will say also Latins. I've seen a lot. Well, that's me going on their Instagram and looking at their profile picture and
you're
assuming
like seeking
that.
It out.
Yeah, I'm just checking it out. I just want to take a demographic poll here. But, you know, it's like quick to make it makes they make it seem like Will went up there and like stabbed Chris Rock. Mm-mm. Or like killed him. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. And we were talking before got onto the recording.
I know where this is going.
Judd Apatow, who basically said,
fucking idiot.
He basically,
and I love his daughter so much. She's so amazing in Euphoria. And then you've got this dickhead of a dad, but yeah, go ahead.
I didn't realize that he was this big of a dickhead. But essentially he goes and he tweets out he could have killed him. That's pure out of control rage and violence. They've heard a million jokes about them in the last 3 decades. They are not freshmen in the world of Hollywood and comedy. He lost his mind. And I feel like that is extremely hyperbolic to say that it was pure
out of
control.
You're weaponizing mental illness, first of all. What if he actually did lose control? So what you're saying is like you're a fucking animal because you had a momentary break in your normal, in air quotes, you know, mental state. But go ahead.
No, there's so much. There's so much. But I just, again, if I didn't see the Oscars and for some reason I hadn't seen anything and this was the first thing I saw, I would assume, holy shit, Will Smith charged the stage and must have tackled Chris Rock right. And then started beating the shit out of him. Mm-mm. And Chris Rock must be hospitalized in the ICU unit right now.
Yeah.
I also think the flip side, and again, like you said at the top of this episode, we are not justifying what Will did,
right.
But we're also going to point out that there was probably a lot of other things happening mm-hmm. behind the scenes with Will, with Jada, maybe even with Chris,
yep.
Because like you said, they are all friends. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that does not mean he's therefore excused mm-hmm. for what he did. But it also doesn't mean we're going to crucify him and act like he went and stabbed the man in the heart mm-hmm. and was so out of control violent mm-hmm. that Chris also, because if it came down to that, is capable and hopefully, I mean, security. Other people would have gotten involved if it was more than that.
And I think that brings me to my second point was going to be, there is a line between explaining and excusing. And I think the explanation here, which, you know, not everybody's going to have the context for, of course, but Will just came out with his autobiography essentially recently. And a very big theme and a big thing that's kind of come out in multiple settings, I think with Oprah and with other interviews he's done, the theme has been that he felt like when he was growing up, he was a coward. And he felt like that because he had a very abusive father, or maybe even stepfather, a male presence who was married to his mother, somebody who was very, very violent and was abusing Will's mother quite frequently in front of Will. And he never stepped in. And so the takeaway for him his whole life has been, I was a coward. I didn't defend my mom. I didn't protect her. And so I say that because the explanation may be here that was like a triggering moment for him where he was like, somebody is attacking somebody that I love very much. And I'm going to jump in here to like defend her honor. Again, not excusing it, just explaining what some of the context here may have been. Now, at the end of the day, right, like, we don't justify it. I don't think that we have, either one of us have said that the slap was appropriate. I think there were other ways that we would have handled it, not saying what he should have done. But I think what I struggle with is that the unfortunate reality of being a black person at that stature is that you represent a lot of black people. So you're one of few black people already sitting in a very white space. And sadly, you are held to a different level of expectations. Like, people expect you to kind of come in and be docile and nice and warm and cuddly, as Will has always been. And so while you should not have to, in theory, be a different person based on the room that you are in, the reality is that you do have to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, you have this responsibility on you to be like, I'm the person here who's representing my community and my people. I'm not going to fulfill stereotypes that are already existing of black men. And so I have to hold myself to a different standard and handle this in a way that's not going to become like this fucking race baiting conversation that it's now become.
Right. Well said. I'm glad you remembered your second point, first of all.
Took a lot.
No, but that's true. I mean, sorry, I thought producer Marge was waving to me. You said a lot. That was really good. I forgot that I'm talking to you on this podcast. I think it's just very unfortunate, because the other thing that I'm going to keep coming back to the comments, because the other thing I've been seeing is a lot of people saying, stop making this about race, right? I've seen that. I've seen, you know what, if this was a white man, no one would be asking to take away his Oscar. I've also seen, if this was a white man, no one would be getting this upset. And so I'm seeing race being used in different ways by different people, no matter, different shades of skin color. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's really interesting how this conversation has, how the race has become part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because for people who say race shouldn't matter, I mean, that's ridiculous. When people go, I don't see color. Mm-hmm. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've been through that. I don't even want to give that any more credit.
Right.
Race does matter. Mm-hmm. It does affect people. It does affect me and you. It affects everybody. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, to your point, we code switch all of the time.
All day long.
All of the time. And it's not like I grew up in Mexico, personally, right? I don't speak Spanish, right? I'm not that, and I'm saying it in a joking way, but it's not really. But I'm still Mexican. No one ever thinks that I'm a white woman. No one ever goes, oh, wow, you're Mexican? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're a woman of color? I had no idea. And there's an element of that that we have, that I have to also always remember. And that's why for me, humor is my go-to, because that makes me likable. Mm-hmm. And that is relatable for everybody. And I cannot imagine, especially when Will was coming up, which 90s, where things weren't as inclusive, and he did have to play the happy, funny guy all of the time, the guy next door, like you said. And that, now he's like the dad, and now he's all these other things that in some ways I think a lot of people think, oh, he's harmless. Maybe that's a thought. And to your point, if he's feeling like, wow, maybe I'm a sellout because there were all these opportunities where I could have done more. And then this is the trigger for him where he feels like, no, that's it. I've had it. Because again, he's been the butt of a lot of jokes lately too. Outside of the alopecia, outside of even Jada getting made fun of by Chris Rock, the August Alsina thing, right? There's a lot of ways that I feel like people have tried to take away a lot of his power. I say emasculate because I think that people have tried to emasculate him actually with the August Alsina. So the background there is that there were rumors flying for a few years that Jada was dating August Alsina, and there were denials about it, denials. And then finally Jada said, yes, she was in a relationship with him, but it was while her and Will were separated. And so a lot of people took that opportunity, and I think before that, to make fun of Will, right? And make it seem like what there was something lacking in their marriage, or basically August was able to give her something that Will wasn't, which is so toxic in and of itself. And again, going back to Jada being in particular very open on Red Table Talk, her show, and then Will coming out with his autobiography, people think, oh, well, they're celebrities, they put it out in the world, and now we get to just target them all of the time.
And I do think the reality is, though, that when you're a celebrity, like, you kind of sign up for some of this shit. Like, you put yourself out there and you put your life out there in this way that, like, especially in this age of social media, it leaves people open to having comments on these things. I'm not saying that I agree with the things people say, but I do think that there has to be some awareness and some knowledge of, like, we have opened up our lives to this, and that includes scrutiny, that includes jokes, that includes all these things. While I understand that there's a difference between the average person commenting on the Shade Room and Chris Rock, who's supposed to be one of their friends, it's kind of like, it's kind of par for the course. Now, again, I think that that's just jokes generally, especially about jokes about August Alsina and things like that. I don't think that this joke was appropriate because of the things that we talked about with, like, you know, the history of black hair and her disease, but I think that he missed the mark here. Like, he didn't act the way that he was supposed to. And I think, frankly, a lot of Chris Rock also didn't. I think the Academy kind of dropped the ball here. Like, I think, I'm sure they look back and they're kicking themselves. You know, they're now investigating him. There's now all this conversation about taking away his award. We'll get back to that part. I do think that in the moment, the right thing maybe would have been to do would have somebody be like, okay, you got to come out. Like, you, sorry, like, we need to talk to you. We need to talk about what this means. Maybe you accept your award at a later date. I don't really know. But to, like, let him, I understand the concern with letting that situation happen. And then he gets to go back in the crowd and, like, clap and laugh and all these things and accept an award after he just, you know, physically abused, violated, assaulted, et cetera, someone.
Yeah, that's not untrue. And that's why I think a lot of people go, why was Will Smith the exception? But maybe he wouldn't have been. Maybe anybody would have gotten away with it if they were a big enough celebrity. We don't know, because this hasn't happened before, and I hope it doesn't happen again. But it's interesting because, again, we should talk about the fact that some people are talking about taking away his Oscar, because the talk is, how do we want to keep him accountable? How do we keep him accountable? Well, some people are saying that. Some people are saying punish him. And there's a big difference between accountability and punishment.
I feel like if we're keeping people accountable, I've got a list of some other folks who you might want to send a little email to. We can do Roman Polanski. We can do let me just give the context for each one. Roman Polanski had sex with a minor, a minor girl, and then fled the fucking country to basically avoid prosecution.
Yep.
There's obviously Woody Allen, who married his daughter that he had with Mia Farrow, and he's still been coming up until recent days. Mel Gibson is, like, a fucking anti-Semite on record and is very unapologetic about it and continues to come. Obviously, we've got Harvey Weinstein, who I think I was listening today. He's got, like, he's been nominated 80 times and has 20 awards or something.
He's won 81 Academy Awards. I have it right in front of me because that's the one I want to talk about.
Wild. And we now know that he was, first of all, physically and verbally abusive to his staff for a very long time, but also sexually assaulted and is alleged to have raped a number of women.
I think he did. Yep.
Oh, I don't remember if he, like, what came out. But long story short, there's prison. A list of a lot of fucking men who have done some really horrible things.
Kevin Spacey, too.
Kevin Spacey. There, well, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. A lot of guys who've done some really horrible things. I'm sure women, too, that I didn't even get on. But we're talking about men right now. Mm-hmm. I like to shit on the men. A list of men who you might want to consider taking away their awards as well, if we're taking away Will Smith's.
And that's why this is punishment to me. This is not accountability. There is a difference, because you want to hold, it's okay to hold people accountable, I think. And in this instance, I don't know what that would look like, to be honest. I don't know with Will. In a way, I think the flip side too is, if him and Chris are cool, then do the rest of us really need to be involved? Like, is that of our concern? And maybe it is at, you know, I don't know if the concern is for other celebrities or other folks in attendance at award ceremonies. Hey, what happens in the future? Because I've also seen some comedians and just generally, like, some celebrities or people on talk shows saying, oh, I'm scared to get up on stage now and tell jokes, because what if someone hits me? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? So you think Will Smith open hand and slapping Chris Rock means that everyone's going to feel emboldened to go up and just punch you on stage? I mean, the people, again, this is where I feel like things are so hyperbolic, where, yes, again, we do not condone what Will Smith did, but to act so affronted by this level of violence, in quotes, but not be affronted by the level of violence that is in media, video games, social media, everything, every day, all the time being thrown at us, that's where I'm like, guys, let's just take a step back. Because right now it feels like everyone has their pitchfork. Not everyone. A lot of people have pitchforks out and we're going on a witch hunt is how it feels too.
I agree with that. I do think, listen, I will push back here. I think the Academy, as we know, like they have members. They've got members. I think Will Smith is one of the members. And they've got like bylaws and policies and things like that. I presume they've got something around like violence. Maybe not, because there's obviously, like we just talked about, a lot of guys who've skirted some of those rules. But if that is a thing, I could understand them saying like, listen, maybe we charge you a fee. And then we donate that fee to an organization. I don't really know. I don't really know what the organization is for slapping comedians. But in theory, you know, they
could start one. We could start a fund.
They could make a charity.
We could start a fund.
They could ask. They could, you know, fine in air quotes him. They could do something. I just think there have to be consequences for your actions. It's the same thing that we teach like kids in school, right? Like you had a timeout, I guess. I don't really know what like the modern day punishment is for kids when they're like violent on the playground. But I just think that like taking away the award is overly punitive and is not in line with what they've done with anyone in the past when they've had these situations come up.
I agree with you. And it's good that you mentioned the kid, because I have seen like quite a few moms being like, if my kid slaps someone, they get suspended or they get expelled. And I'm like, yeah, they should. But also, what are we going to expel Will Smith from kindergarten right now? There's no equivalent. Like, I'm not disagreeing that something can happen. And to your point, maybe it is a fine. Maybe it's him. I don't even know. That's probably the best thing. Because what are you going to mean? What are you going to say? It's like the NFL where they do something and then now they can't play the next three games. Like the Oscars happens once a year as well.
And so, I'm sure the argument for people is going to be like, he's so rich. It's not going to be like, you know, it's going to be like a drop in the bucket for him, whatever the case. Yeah, that's fine. But there's only so many things you can do for a person who is an actor and has that much money. And like, to your point, a thing that happens once a year.
And again, taking a step back, Will Smith and Chris Rock are both fucking rich. They're both very, very rich.
They're loaded.
Way richer than most of us. And again, if Chris Rock, because we don't know what the status of their friendship is, all three of them, right? Jada, Will, Chris. But presumably, you said they were friends before. Presumably, they're going to work it out. Presumably, Chris is okay enough that he has decided not to file charges. So if Chris says, all good, we're good, we worked it out, then maybe everybody else just goes, okay. And maybe there's more talk about what the Oscars can do specifically, because to your point, they are their own organization. And there should, that's why I'm saying that there can be accountability,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's a better word than a punishment, or to your point, consequence, right? There's got to be a consequence to your actions. But the punishment of taking away the Oscar, I agree, is ridiculous. Or if you do decide to take away his Oscar, then get ready to take away a lot more people's
Oscars. We've
got
a long list for you.
And you have quite a few to go pick up from dear Mr. Weinstein. So bring a big fucking truck, because 81 Academy Awards sitting God knows where. Take away their freaking shit. And that's where, and I hope, and it doesn't mean that the people who are saying this, I want to believe that if you're listening and you're one of those people that think Will's Oscar should be taken away, then I hope you also think these other people's Oscars should be taken away. At least be fair about the way that you are evaluating Will versus other white men who have done way worse, in my opinion.
I mean, just egregious things. Like,
disgusting. Don't even want to.
We don't need to rehash that.
Terrible. I need to take a deep breath. That was a lot.
It was a lot. We covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.
Do you think there should be any level of accountability for Chris where it comes to his joke about Jada?
I was just thinking that, actually. It would be nice if he apologized. I don't know if it needs to be public, but at least in private. That's the other thing, too. Some people are going to say he made the joke in public. He should make the joke in private. Presumably, Will made his apology public, and he's presumably, not presumably, he made the joke. Sorry. Will publicly apologized. Presumably, he apologized in private. Probably because his actions were in public. And so he wants to make sure that the public is also involved in that apology. And so I would say the flip would be that Chris, if I'm Chris, I would want to apologize to Jada. In private and probably in public, if he feels that way. If they're really friends, is what I mean. If they're really friends and she goes up to Chris and she says, that joke really hurt my feelings. Chris, as her friend, can decide what to do with it. But if your friend comes up to you and says, this really hurt my feelings, maybe that's an opportunity for you to apologize. Now, if she goes, I didn't care. Maybe she was shaking her head at something else. I don't know. It'd be
that's
very
a reach.
Weird.
That feels like a reach.
I don't know. I don't know, because humor is so subjective, and a lot of comedians I know do not want to have to apologize for their jokes.
Well, we're not asking you to apologize. My thought is, like, nobody's asking you to apologize on behalf of, like, every single black woman or every single person with alopecia. It's you're apologizing to your friend.
That's why I said the friend thing. Maybe on a friend level, he, like you said, if they were really friends and he knew or didn't know about how serious it was, and she tells him, like, no, this is extremely embarrassing for me. This has to be a topic where it's like, no. Then, okay. But do I think that the public needs to be in on that? Not necessarily.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's like a personal thing that can be worked out. I mean, it sounds like, from what we've heard from Diddy, it sounds like
Diddy the peacemaker.
They had very odd. Very P odd, did. But fine.
P. Dids.
He was not great at achieving peace back in the 90s, but we can move on from that. R.I.P. Tupac. Anywho, he allegedly brought together Will and Chris at one of the Oscar, or at some point after the award show was over, because Chris did not go to the after parties for obvious reasons. And it sounds like they spoke, and that they've, to your point, now kind of made amends, and that everything may be okay with them. So maybe at that point he also said, like, I'm sorry, Will, maybe Jada was there and we just don't know, and he apologized to her as well.
Yeah.
And listen, I think if I were him, I would apologize, but I don't think that, like, any of this rose to the level of, like, what happened.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think Will is probably struggling with a lot of things.
His voicemails are probably very full right now.
Yeah. And I think the best thing for him to do, and I'm sure he's already doing it, right? Because I mess up in my private life in front of just myself, and I'll feel embarrassed. I mess up in my private life in front of my wife, I'm double as embarrassed. You had some friends, some relatives, oh my God, exponentially embarrassed and ashamed. And you go through that shame cycle, and you go through feeling all of that embarrassment, and you're punishing yourself probably more than anybody else could possibly punish you.
Yep.
And not only, and that's just me being a private individual who has, like, a private Instagram account with, like, 200 people following me. I don't know most of those people. And then I have this little podcast with you, right? And if I did something embarrassing and just that immediate circle got out, I would be so ashamed.
Yeah,
I would feel terrible. I wouldn't want to come out of my room. So I can't even imagine not only what Will is feeling, but Jada too, just everybody, right? Chris too, but Will, who was the perpetrator in this instance and who went on stage and slapped, and there's all these people judging and condoning and having opinions on things, on what happened, and it was in the public space, and we talk about free speech, so okay, have your opinions. But he's going to have to live through this more than any of us, because this didn't happen to us. It's something for us to talk about, because in our society, things get our hot topics for that week, and then it's out of sight, out of mind. But then the next time we see Will Smith, we're going to go, oh, man, that's the guy that punched Chris, that slapped Chris Rock.
I mean, I think that the sad reality of this is that, like, it ruined a historic moment for black people generally. I think it ruined a historic moment for him because he was getting the Best Actor award. It ruined a moment for the Williams family, who were there to celebrate their father, his legacy. He's still alive, let me say that. But, you know, the things
Richard
that he had done.
Was not happy with his actions. Yeah,
right.
He spoke on it.
You know, you made it a very not great moment for Richard and the Williams family. It's also not great for Chris Rock. I mean, I think it was not a great moment, like, in pop culture quite generally.
All in all.
But I think what I'm trying to say is, to your point, I'm sure there's a lot of fucking weight on his shoulders right now as he has to sit back and reflect on what he did and what the consequences will inevitably be.
Yeah. And that, again, for any naysayers out there, all of this stuff doesn't then mean he's exonerated. He gets to get away with everything.
Yeah, yep.
There are already consequences to what happened. And that is the fact that so many people are probably not Will fans anymore, who used to be. There are people who are wanting to take away his Oscar. There are people who, right, fill in the blank about that. Of course, you have people who are supporting him. But I just want people to remember that it's not black and white. No pun intended. But there's so much more gray area to life, to people. We're so much more nuanced. And just because they're celebrities doesn't mean that we then get to roast them because they're celebrities. We do get to talk about them, sure. But they're real life people who make mistakes. And I think it's pretty clear Will made a huge mistake. And Will has apologized. And now we are going to see what happens with him, with Chris, with Jada. because I'm sure this won't be the last time his Instagram post apologizes. Instagram, I'm sure he posted it somewhere else, but that's not going to be the last we hear of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. I mean, listen, I think the reality is the legal repercussions will probably be pretty low. Like we talked about at the top, I don't see an instance in which Chris and or the prosecutor for, I don't know, LA County are bringing assault and or battery charges for an incident like this. I mean, they've, you know, got much bigger problems to solve. And I think the resources probably don't need to be funneled to this. But in a real life, day to day way, there's much bigger consequences than the legal would have, quite frankly.
Yeah. And if you say that you support all sides, then it doesn't mean you're like a freaking jerk, right? We should also be understanding of other people's opinions on the matter and be kind to one another too, because it's more nuanced than that. If I say I support Will Smith, it doesn't mean I support him slapping the shit out of somebody. It could just mean I support the fact that this human made a mistake and he's asked for forgiveness and he's going to evaluate his actions. Mm-hmm. And the same for Chris Rock. Maybe you evaluate certain jokes that you make about close friends if that's a sensitive topic. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think twice about that joke. Was it really worth it? Again, considering that she was purportedly a very good friend of yours. Maybe not. Yeah. But otherwise, there's consequences to that too, because then maybe Jada goes, maybe you're not such a good friend to me because I do care about this. And if his opinion is, well, I'm a joke maker. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Then so be it. People are free to make their decisions and people can react how they want.
Well, what a time to be alive.
All right. Well, there was an impromptu special edition episode of Legally Judgy with our thoughts on the legality and the morality of the Will Smith slap at the Oscars.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends that we have many opinions and we like sharing them with the world.
Yeah, and if you like this episode, let us know, because we're happy to change up our format and do more of this kind of stuff.
Yep.
All right. Bye.